In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, you choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamun alaikum and welcome. we are going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Today, Sunday, is the 13th of Rabiu Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Surah Az-Zukhruf, verses 66 to 67.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون.
Are they waiting except for the hour to come upon them suddenly while they perceive not?
الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين.
Close friends, that day will be enemies to each other, except for the righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, the bonds of friendship of the pious are everlasting. Why? Since they are established on everlasting values whose fruitful consequences shall be more evident on the day of resurrection, and thereby they place them on a firmer basis. It is natural that friends render assistance to each other in daily life, and if their friendship based on evil and corruption, they will be accomplices in their sins and crimes. However, if their friendship be based on good and discretion, they will be associates in recompense. Therefore, it is not surprising to know that the former will turn into enmity and the latter into firmer friendship.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have because you gave. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
Today's special, and what does Islam say about friendship? Friends are an integral and important part of our social life, as they contribute gently to the development of one's personality and they affect many aspects of our lives. Islam, in complete harmony with man's nature, deals extensively both in the Quran and the narrations with the issue of friendship in Islam. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, while explaining the impact of friends, says, "Man is influenced by the faith of his friends. Therefore, be careful of whom you befriend." Similarly, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, "Try to have as many as possible true friends, for they are supplies in joy and the shelters in misfortunes."
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship and fraternity. Those people who are short of making friends usually feel very lonely, although they live in human communities. I mean, there's a difference between living with people and making friends with them. And there's also another piece of wisdom related from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who said, "Al-ghalibu man laysa lahu habib." The stranger is a person who hasn't got any friend. Now we find that in the Islamic religion, we find there are many indications, many recommendations for people to make friends with suitable people. Of course, not everybody may be regarded as suitable for making friends with. However, making friends is a merit. And Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated it in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أعجز الناس من عجز عن اكتساب الإخوان وعجز منهم من ضيع من ظفر به منهم. The weakest of all people is one who hasn't been able to make friends. And yet, I mean, the most weakest person is the one who loses the friends he has made.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why am I, who am I? I just want some peace of mind. And the salam, aminuka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalal.
Rights of Friends. Al-Waqidi relayed the following story. The eighth day was about to come while I had no single dirham in possession. My wife, noticing this manner, asked me to do something, since our children would be very distressed if they saw the other children with new clothes. Hence, I had to send a letter to my Hashemite friend asking him for help. He therefore sent me a bag of 1,000 dirhams. As soon as I received them, another friend of mine sent me a letter complaining about neediness. I had to send him that very bag. Because I was embraced to see my wife, I spent that night in the mosque. The next morning, I went home and told her of the story. She did not blame me for so. In fact, she praised me for such a doing. After a while, my Hashemite friend came to me bearing the very bag of 1,000 dirhams. He asked me to tell him the truth. Therefore, I told the whole story. He said, "When I received your letter, I had nothing at all but that bag. Nevertheless, I send it to you." I then wrote a letter to our friend asking for help, and he sent me the very bag. Hence, we may distribute that sum among us. Friendly ways, how to choose good friends in Islam. Have a good morals. Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, ever said that permissibility, that the good friends and bad friends are like a perfume seller and a blacksmith. The perfume seller may give you perfume, or you can buy perfume from him, and even if you do not, you still get the smell from him. While the blacksmith, it could be a spark of his fire hit your clothes, and if it is not you, still get the smell of his odor's smoke. In the hadith, it's said that friends will greatly affect us in behaving and morals. Therefore, we must always choose friends who have the good morals.
Bad friends can really misguide us and take us far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, there was a famous poet by the name of Al-A'sha, a very eloquent poet. He was one of the authors of Al-Mu'allaqat al-Sab'. You know, there were seven famous poems, the peak of Arabic poetry, which were hung on the Kaaba. Al-A'sha was one of the authors of those poems. He came from the region of Najd. He heard that a man has come forward claiming to be a messenger of God. So he told himself, let me go and see. Is this man truthful? I've heard a lot of good things about what he preaches. Let me go hear him. And if what he says makes sense, then I'll embrace his religion. I'll be a Muslim. There's no problem in that. As he was heading to go and meet the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, one of his friends told him, wait a minute, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Mecca to meet this man. His name is Muhammad and he claims to be a messenger. I want to hear him. He seems to be saying good things. His bad friend told him, no, I don't think you should go. He's like, why? He's like, because this man's religion is quite complicated. He says, what do you mean? Why is it complicated? He says, for one, he outlaws adultery. If you become Muslim, you can no longer commit adultery. And Asha thought for a moment. He's like, that's good. I agree with that. This is an act of corruption. And if he outlaws adultery, that's a good sign. Then I should embrace his religion. His friend realized this didn't work out. Then finally, he put the bait for him. He told him, let me tell you something else. Do you know that Muhammad outlaws drinking alcohol? If you become a Muslim, you can no longer drink. Now Al-A'sha was addicted to drinking. Just like most people in the pre-Islamic times in Arabia, they were addicted to alcohol and drinking. So Al-A'sha is like, no, this is too tough. Let me not go and see the Prophet and become a Muslim. Let me go back to my village, drink as much alcohol as I can. You know, I'm trying to compensate for the future. And then next year, I'll go and meet him and I become a Muslim. Let me enjoy myself from now till the next year. You know what happened to him? Did Allah give him that additional year? He died before the following year. And what happened to him? He died as a mushrik. As a pagan, someone addicted to drinking. That's how he met his Lord. Why? Because of a bad friend.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about pondering on a wonderful maxim from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The worst of people is he who has two faces and two tongues, praises his brother in front of him, and eats his flesh in his absence.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Throughout the last few episodes, we have been discussing the concept of community, the ummah, and that it is the responsibility of an individual within that ummah to do certain things. And Islam, as we mentioned, is a religion that promotes community building, social development, and all these other fancy names that we may not. But in actual fact, the ummah is just that. It's just that, we have kind of given terms to it. But there's no need for all of these terms in reality if we just had to realize our responsibilities towards our fellow human being, our fellow Muslim brother and sister. But as we can see that certain communities and corruption occurs wherever we are, and there are certain things that hopefully, because of this tradition we will mention from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the punishment for those corruptions that occur in society are blocked or repelled because of certain actions of other members of that society. And sometimes, as we will see from this tradition, not even a human being, that enables this punishment to be removed, but another creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that we can actually take lessons from. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that, were it not for the praying servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that individual who does his salah, who does his compulsory prayers, who does dua and supplicates towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically a servant who has a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one. The young suckling children, so the infants, the babies, those who are ma'asum, who are sinless, who are just being brought into this world, as who have been given as gifts to parents by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These children, they don't have any impact or influence on what is going on in society at that very moment in time. And there might be those who change community also. Right? So the future of this child, in the knowledge of those around them, is unknown. And the last one is quite fascinating, that the Holy Prophet in this tradition says that, those two, a person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is a child who is sinless, has no influence on what is happening in society at that moment in time. The last one is quite, as I said, fascinating, is that, and the grazing animals, that those animals who are grazing, eating, they actually stop. So these three groups these three categories, they do what? Punishment would pour down on you. So if it were not for these three categories, or these three groups, the servant who prays to Allah, the young sinless child, and that animal that is eating, grazing, and getting his sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the corruption done in society, would pour down his punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the first group, of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, and to try and be of those who do not add to corruption, but rather reduce it, inshaAllah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful.
May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. Alfred Gillam, 1888-1965, was a British Christian Arabist, scholar of Islam, and Hebrew Bible Old Testament scholar. He was best known as the author of Islam and co-author of The Legacy of Islam in the Legacy series, which has been translated into several languages. In his famous book Islam, he wrote the following about the Noble Quran. It is a rhyme of peculiar beauty and a cadence that charms the ear. Many Christian Arabs speak of its style with warm admiration, and most Arabists acknowledge its excellence. Indeed, it may be affirmed that within the literature of Arabs, wide and fecund as it is both in poetry and in elevated prose, there is nothing to compare with it. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verses 54 and 55 of Surah Al-Qamar, as well as verses 1 to 11 of Surah Al-Rahman, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Al-Banna.
إن المتقين في جنات ونهر في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر مليك مقتدر الرحمن وعلم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان الميزان
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Al-Qamar, verses 54 to 55, as well as Surah Al-Rahman, verses 1 to 11, by Sheikh Mahmoud Ali Al-Banna. Now let's analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن للمتقين في جنات ونهر. I'm going to focus on the two غنّز that we have in the phrase جنات ونهر. As you know, غنّة itself is a broad topic. We have different kinds of غنّة. We have غنّة of Noon and Meem whenever they're Mushaddad. We have Ghunna of Idgham al Ghunna. We have Ghunna of Ikhfa of Noon Sakina. We have Ghunna of Ikhfa of Meem Sakina. And also Ghunna of Iqlab of Noon Sakina, which is similar to Ikhfa of Meem Sakina. Here we have Noon Mushaddad and also Idgham al Ghunna. The duration of Ghunna is two vowel counts. So you have to be consistent in the number of vowel counts of ghunna, which is only two, not more. So, jannat and jannatin wa nahar should take about the same amount of time. Actually, exactly the same amount of time, which is two vowel counts. And also, inna. We also had a ghunna at the beginning. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. So the غنة should be the same in terms of duration. فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Let's talk about the قَلْقَلَ in the word مُقْتَدِرٍ. قَلْقَلَ means that the sound of the letter of قَلْقَلَ, which is the letter that has the characteristic of qalqala, should not stay in the place of articulation of that letter. You should release it quickly. It should bounce back. It should come apart. So when you say muqtadir, you're applying qalqala. But if you say muqtadir, you're not applying qalqala, which is incorrect. Qalqala makes your recitation more fluent and smooth. Now let's go to the next surah, which is Surah Ar-Rahman. As you can see, Muqtadirin Bismillahi Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. There is iqlab of Nun Sakina between the word Muqtadirin and Bismillahi Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, because there is a ba after the tanween of kasra of the word Muqtadir. So we have to apply iqlab if we wish to connect this verse to the Bismillah of Surah Ar-Rahman and the verses of Surah Ar-Rahman. And iqlab is basically turning the Nun Sakina into a Mim Sakina, which has ikhfa. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim ar-Rahman. This Hamzatul Wasl is not pronounced if you connect it, if you connect the Bismillah to the ar-Rahman. But if you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you stop and then you want to say Ar-Rahman. You have to pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl with a Fatha, because it's an Alif Lam word. And all Alif Lam words begin with a Fatha. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان والسماء رفع. This is the first mad that we have in this surah, which is madul muttasil, which you have to lengthen to either four or five vowel counts. Alla tatagaw fil mizan, another qalqala, tatagaw. وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانَ. Okay, we're unfortunately out of time and we can't finish this surah, but inshallah in the next programs we will analyze other rules of tajweed and other great recitations. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كِتَابُ اللَّهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Inshallah, hopefully you are all well. In continue our discussion on Surah Yunus, that is the verses 90, 91 and 92 of this blessed chapter of the Holy Quran, which mentions the story of Fir'aun and the drowning of Fir'aun and his army, and the body of Fir'aun being kept as an example, as a means, as a lesson, as an ibrah for those who will come after. And we mentioned two interpretations, one of the earlier scholars, one of the later scholars, and obviously both are correct. Both can be correct. Why can both not be correct? It's possible that both occurred. Now, because of this, we see that certain scholars and certain archaeologists, scientists, they, by this verse of the Holy Quran, were extremely affected by it. Why? And this is why we say that this is one of the historical miracles of the Holy Quran. And it can also be counted as a scientific miracle. These scholars, for example, knew that during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, which came many years after this incident, gave news of something that at that particular time in Arabia, nobody had knowledge of this particular event in terms of actually seeing it. Nobody saw it. Nor of the scientific backing behind it, meaning, for example, even if we take the embalming and whatever else, no one knew about it. No one knew that this individual's body will remain, and no one knew that this body will go throughout the world as a show. If we claim that that body was the body of the Pharaoh, or this very Fir'aun, that traveled throughout the world. So they got extremely, you know, impressed. Some of them changed. And they said that, you know, this verse speaks about that this body being eaten, or rather being drowned in the Nile, not being destroyed by, you know, obviously it would not have come up immediately. It would have taken some time for it to take the natural process of it, but being preserved in the Nile, coming out of the Nile, and then being found, being excavated by the scholars. If, for example, we say it got, you know, taken up by the soil, and then traveling the world, these scholars are saying that how can the Holy Prophet at that time in Arabia be able to give news about such an event that science now has proven. However, this is not to say that, you know, the Holy Quran is a book of science. No. Yes, it is one of the miracles of the Holy Quran. It has been given certain scientific and historical miracles in this regard, and it proves the historical nature of certain events and the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran.
and that this type of news can only be given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam by a means that is not physical, but rather a means that is metaphysical in this case, wahi or revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from a divine source, a source of all knowledge that transcends both time and space. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
I want to give a couple of examples of where we can see that this is taking place right now in our society, where like the truth is being sort of exchanged with the falsehood. There are many examples that we could give, it's worth considering and discussing amongst yourself as well too. But I just want to mention a couple that are on my mind right now and that I feel it would be beneficial to bring up. One of them is the topic of gender. In recent times, especially in the last couple of years, there has been a very pronounced attack on the idea of gender, and people are very getting confused on this idea. Now, on one hand, when somebody is looking for the teachings of truth and they're looking for guidance on this issue, it's very clear from an Islamic perspective that there is gender. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, the Quran states very clearly that the male is not like the female. There's two different things. Okay. Now, is there a possibility that somebody, for example, that in the system of God's creation, that for various reasons things can happen, and you might, for example, have somebody who may have some elements of being both a male and a female? Yes, it is a possibility. It's not the norm, but it is a possibility. And for centuries, the books of Islamic law have accounted for this possibility. If you go and you see the discussion of when there are laws concerning gender, there always is this, that what if there's somebody who, where there is some type of confusion at the physical level. Okay. Now, what about at not the level of physical, but the level of the psychological level, where let's say that there's somebody who really legitimately has a problem in this regard. There's something which is very much there's a mismatch, and it's not something which is sort of like just a feeling, but it's actually a reality for them. Does Islam acknowledge that and account for it? Yes, and there's a discussion about that to be had. However, is it the case that one's physical gender, the way that they're born, is something which is not important, and what really matters is what one is feeling on a certain day, and then one day they can be like this, and one day they can be like that? That type of idea, if you look, it's ludicrous, right? And it goes against the teachings of, the clear teachings of what our faith gives us. But it's one of those things where, you know, if the way it's being kind of going around in society, right, it's starting to like take on a form where if you speak out against it, then you'd be maybe labeled. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's worth having a discussion about. But what happens is if the clear teachings are not given, then people are encouraged to sort of start looking at this from a perspective of like, well, feelings and emotions and passions and these type of things, then they can actually end up causing severe damage and harm to themselves. And so one of the truths that is being suppressed and that we need to be aware of is that this type of discussion in some ways, in the name of freedom, is actually causing a lot of damage. And people are, you know, doing things which later on they regret. And sometimes, you know, the suicide rate after some of the actions that some people take, like it jumps up like 20 times what it was before, based on like, you know, large studies that have taken that have been undertaken. So this is one of those examples of an idea where, you know, it's quickly entered, it's being pushed in many different avenues, and we have to be aware of it. A different area that I just want to mention briefly is when it comes to Islamophobia and the position of Muslims in society. One of the ideas that's being pushed is this sort of separation between moderate Islam and then extreme Islam. Moderate Muslims are okay. Muslims who are extremists are not okay. And it's pushed to the point where sometimes, you know, people feel the need to sort of, Muslims feel the need to like sort of advertise, you know, like our mosque is one of the moderate mosques, right? They even have like certain stickers, they fly certain symbols or whatever it is, right? To sort of show that, okay, we're one of the moderate mosques. Right? Now, however much we look at Islam, Islam is one. Right? There's not like different flavors or different like sort of like you take this book or like you leave out certain chapters if you want this flavor of Islam and you take these chapters if you want to take another flavor of Islam. Islam is one. This idea of sort of separating the two and of celebrating the moderate Muslims and then sort of casting out the extremists, right? It itself is something which is, you know, it has an agenda behind it. Because what it means is that when it comes to certain teachings which are part of, which our Rabb has conveyed to us, certain ways that He's showed us that, look, this is the path to success, this is how I created you, in order to meet that criteria of being a moderate Muslim, we have to cast those aside. We have to openly, like, sort of pay allegiance to these false ideas. And you look at the people of the cave, what do they say? They say, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. Like they say very emphatically, we will never call upon any entity worthy of worship save Him. Right? So immediately after that, now what that means is for us practically, it's not okay to like sort of be soft when it comes to these things. And when you look at American Muslims and some of the American Muslim leaders, I'm talking about in general, you see that unfortunately on some of these areas they're compromising, right? Why do they need to compromise? Yes, there's always like a path of doing things wisely and knowing when to speak out about something and when to remain silent, but that doesn't mean that it's okay to compromise on the fundamental principles. So just to sum up, there's one verse in the Quran which sort of like maybe will take everything that we discuss and put it into like just one very short but very powerful phrase. Luqman, the wise one, when he was speaking to his son and he was giving him advice, he tells him, "La tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azim." He says, "Don't do shirk. Indeed, shirk is a great injustice." Now, that hopefully, you know, in light of the different types, you know, things that we mentioned, hopefully that we understand that it's something which is much more than just like somebody taking an object of an idol and worshiping it on their own. It's about recognizing, you know, forms of oppression of thought, of oppression of through culture and society. It's about understanding systemic oppression, like, you know, things that are built into the systems, and making sure that we don't fall prey to that. And for those of you who are in the position where you're doing tarbiyah, you're guiding others, whether it be, you know, in the schools, or whether it be in your Sunday school, whether it be your children, or whether it be like your younger brother or sister, the fact that Luqman is giving this one of his advices to his son, it means that this is something that we, as you know, as people who are educators and doing tarbiyah, we also need to consider. This is important for us to convey as well too, that on the level of ideas and thoughts and those important issues, it's not enough to just teach our children how to do their prayers correctly. Or even that, though, sometimes we don't do our responsibility. That's really important, right? But that's not enough. It's not enough for them to just memorize the usul al-deen and the names of the imams and these things, although those are important as well. But what is necessary is to give them those two teachings and ideas and principles, so that when they are in a culture and ideology which then has its own version and is trying to switch the places of truth and falsehood, they can stand firm. So hence the need to work, you know, and to provide those rational principles and to work hard at doing so. May Allah give us all the strength to perform our responsibilities, to take the teachings of the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, and to apply them to our lives and to spread them to others as well too.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Ocean of Dua.
ثم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful.